warriors, commence strategic maneuvers at audible command signal. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1, begin.
Jackalope Radio presents Movies Hate You. Movies Hate You, with your host, Rob Housechild.
Yo, and welcome to the Movies Hate You show. That's right.
Welcome.
Oh God, I love amateur radio. Hey, wow! You notice there's one less singer in the background. That's because Mr. Ree is not here today. Well, yeah. He might be here tonight, but you know, for anyone who lives in the New York area, all you have to do is add either water or heat to this area, and everything goes bananas. So he's stuck on a train somewhere that's having signal problems, which always happens when there's a little bit of heat. And it's boiling here today in the New York City area at a whopping 80 degrees.
Gotcha.
Yeah. I know. I'm not complaining. I'm just stating the facts because I know other people have tornadoes today. So I'm not complaining. Trust me. So Mr. Ree is not here with us, or maybe here with us later. So if he just happens to pop in, he'll pop in with us. So it's just me and you, Todd Sheets, our producer. How are you tonight, Todd?
I am awesome. How are you?
Yeah, great, man. I know you have other work to do, and that's why I'm going to keep talking to you and just keep engaging you every time you try to do something else. Because I can't talk at the audience for a full hour. I mean, that would be very narcissistic of me. He's not even paying attention. Well, how about we let the fans talk tonight? We make it a fan show. Only.
I'm wondering why I'm hearing myself. Can you? Are you here? Have you got your speakers turned up?
I mean, I've got, you know, turned up enough so I can hear you.
Yeah. That's
how about now?
That's better.
I think I had it too loud.
Yeah, I was.
So if I point the mic at the speaker, is that a problem?
Yeah, don't do that. Don't do that.
If I plug this mic, is this a problem if I unplug it right now?
Yeah, it'd be a problem. So
why don't we open up the phones to the fans tonight? 310-928-7857. This is the Movies Hate You show.
The first and only
movie show on the Jackalope family of channels or shows, right? Are we the first and only? There are no other movie shows on your Jackalope station, are there?
None.
No.
Nah.
Oh, good. 30. Okay, good. 310-928-7857. Pull in, and tonight's your night to get the beef out. What don't you like? What do you like? Complain about Todd. Complain about Mr. Ree. Don't complain about me. And we'll take it from there, man. Oh, by the way, we are sponsored by who, Todd? Wild Eye Releasing. That's right.
Wild Eye Releasing.
Which is sort of a conflict of interest because I own and operate that company. But since we couldn't find a legitimate sponsor, we have an illegitimate sponsor in Wild Eye Releasing. Just kidding. We are a legitimate movie company. We just put out the Driller VHS, which is going crazy with people picking it up. And Todd, your movies are due for a VHS reboot, man.
And it's happening. That's what you're saying.
Over my dead body, it's happening. It's happening, man. I'm going to use my influence as a member of the Jackalope family to put your movies on VHS. Guaranteed. You heard it here first. Mark my words. Todd Sheets movies will return to VHS via Wild Eye at some point in the very near future. That is a threat. No calls yet, huh, Todd? We're just going to keep going.
Keep going.
See, I need Mr. Ree here. Mr. Ree's kind of like, you know, he'll come up with the banal stuff to talk about.
He's Tonto.
He's the Tonto to my Lone Ranger. Notice the Lone Ranger reference, not Ranger.
I definitely wanted to say that, yeah.
Remember that? Did you have that Lone Ranger album when you were a metalhead teenager?
I did. Put out by Metal Blade, not Metal Blade, put out by Megaforce Records.
Megaforce Records. And wasn't that the guy, who was the guy under the mask? Wasn't it the guy that ran Megaforce Records?
I think it was Johnny Z there in New Jersey.
Well, in Clark, New Jersey, and I'll tell you, I grew up in that area, and I spent many an afternoon at Rock and Roll Heaven in Clark, New Jersey, the probably the world's first metal record store, only metal, and I met Metallica there, and I met the band Raven there, and we used to walk there. I mean, it was like probably 6 miles, and we would walk to that store just to buy a couple of records and walk all the way back home. That's how much metal meant to us back then. Don't you wish you grew up near Rock and Roll Heaven, the legendary Rock and Roll Heaven? Whatever.
I wish I did.
It was rhetorical. I didn't mean for you to answer. It was kind of to everyone. Don't you wish, you dear listener, don't you wish that you...
You know, when I grew up where they burned albums and I had to go down there and urinate on the fire.
You grew up where they burned people,
dude.
From
seriously,
trees.
Youth for Christ used to have rallies on the weekends, and you'd get 1,000 people out there bringing LPs, and sometimes they would go to the stores and buy these LPs just so you couldn't and burn them.
It's like the Beatles, you know, when Lennon made the Jesus reference, and they were burning the Beatles. They were going out and buying Beatles paraphernalia, all that, millions of dollars worth of Beatles paraphernalia that it's worth today, probably, burned in the name of Christ. I love that, man. That's great, though. We didn't have that kind of, you know, kind of like being on a coast or being so close to New York City and kind of that attitude. We didn't have the, we had like, it's more of a Catholic thing. It's not really a Bible thumping kind of land, you know. It's not like Holy Rollers, you know. There are Baptists and crazies, but it's more of a Catholic kind of like, hey, I'm gonna guilt you if you buy that Venom album, you know. It's like your mom guilts you into saying you're gonna go to hell and Satan and this and that, but they're not gonna destroy property, you know. They're just gonna guilt you into like eternal damnation. It's kind of how the Catholic works. But you guys, I mean, Christians are just like, get the guns out. Where are the Satanists? Where are the West Memphis 3? Let's get them.
The West Memphis 3, yeah. You know, the sad part, though, is, you know, I would go out there and I would just check it out and get so angry, and I would raise hell with them and raise hell, but the final straw came when they threw Iron Maiden's Number of the Beast on there. That's when I had to drop trowel and I had to put out the fire.
Yeah, you're so full of it, man.
It's true.
They would have given you a little circumcision right there if you did that, man.
Dude,
come on.
There was three of us that did it. And the fourth guy was supposed to do it, but he chickened out because he's a wuss.
Well, were there like how many crazy Christians were around? Like 100?
Oh, there was probably about 600 at the time.
I want to do like can we do like a Christian album burning? Can we do like get like Carmen Records and like DC Talk and like start a bonfire and just say, oh, we're sick of this false prophets. Sick of the false prophets. Are you a Carman fan?
No, I'm not.
Do you know who Carman is?
Yeah, he's an idiot who sings songs like Satan Bite the Dust.
Awesome, dude. Awesome. He does these like music videos with like Stan Winston makeup effects on these demons that he fights, and like he's wearing like a cowboy outfit. It's brilliant. If you get a chance, go to somewhere. I guess YouTube must have this stuff. I have a bunch of tapes of this guy's stuff, and it's just like he's like the Christian Elvis, man. Christian Elvis.
He's an a-hole.
Carman. It's not Carmen, although his name is Carmine. It's Carman. So it's like the word car and the word man together.
That doesn't
not
make
Carman.
Sense.
It makes no sense, but he's Carman.
He's
maybe
idiot.
he had his come to Jesus moment in the back of a car. Maybe, like he was stuck.
Maybe he can go lick the balls of Robert Tilton.
If his name is Carmine, he might have been involved with the mafia and wound up in the trunk of a car for some nefarious reason, and then Jesus helped him get out of the trunk, or the light came into the trunk through the keyhole or something, and Jesus swept over him, and he's like, "I'm Carman, because that's where I found Christ." Don't you think that's kind of cool? Go to hell, Todd.
Thanks. I've already been.
I think someone needs to mine the dredges of the Carman filmography, and you know he's done a couple features too. That's what we need to do, an episode on Christian movies, man. One of my guilty pleasures. I do collect them. I just wrote an article for Lunch Meat Magazine, the VHS magazine. Every issue I have a column in there, and I do all kinds of, it's called Tapes from the Trash, and it's pretty much all the non-horror stuff no one else wants to write about. So I did a whole Christian themed column. And I snuck some Carmen in there. He guest appeared on another Christian tape, and I had to mention him. Anyway, Todd, this is getting boring. Come on, 310-928-7857. I heard 42nd Street Pete died. That was the rumor. But then he appeared on Facebook or reappeared. Yeah, so if you're out there, Pete, give us a call. We want to know that you're actually alive and if somebody hasn't hacked your Facebook page like they did to that poor guy who may have died or didn't die. Remember that what was his name? The critical condition of the zine guy. He was like one of the first VHS guys on the web. It was some kind of big thing that happened. Anyway, I don't get involved in that stuff. But Pete, if you're alive, call us, man. We know you're out there. But if you're not Pete and you want to call us, 310-928-7857, and come rant with us. Did you see Star Trek, Todd?
Loved every minute of it.
Did you really? Now I got a report from someone, a trusted sci-fiologist friend of mine, who walked out of the movie. Wait a minute. Walked out of the movie because it was just too shaky cam, silly nonsense for him.
I disagree completely. There wasn't even hardly any shaky cam in it, only when the ship was getting attacked, and they did that in the original.
It doesn't mean you have to do it now. I don't, and it underperformed by Hollywood standards. That people are starting to question Abrams' ability to, you know, relaunch the Star Wars franchise at this point. I mean, you can't have Star Trek and Star Wars. You know, you only get one. It's almost like they should give you, it should be a lottery or something. You know, as a director or producer, you only get one. You can't have both. You know, you can't have both. You know, you can have. You can't have Indiana Jones and Star Wars. You got to have one or the other. You can't have Star Trek and Star Wars. You don't get both and the Avengers. You don't get all three. You don't get everything. I know Abrams didn't do Avengers. I'm just saying. I'm just using it as an example. Doesn't that make sense to you?
I understand completely.
You don't know nothing. You don't know nothing. I don't even want to talk
to you. What I do know is it was the most entertaining movie I'd seen it in a long time, and it's the movie I wish the Avengers would have been, because I liked the Avengers. I liked it. I didn't love it. This movie had the great characterization I'd hoped for. It had some breathtaking action sequences that were very well staged. You know, people really need to get a life, because you don't just walk out of a movie. I mean, it's disrespectful as hell. It's not like we're talking about some piece of crap done by Tyler Perry. This movie had so much care and heart and passion put into it, dude. Those kind of people piss me off to the point where I slap them in the face. Because I feel like,
what?
Look, man, you don't walk out of something that someone has poured so much heart and soul into like this. So much passion. So much well-done film.
So much money.
No, dude.
Wait a minute.
Seriously,
paid his money.
If you and I were there...
He paid his money. If it registers as a sale, it doesn't matter if he didn't like it.
True,
I mean, that's
but
like
my
saying,
point is, hey, if you and I were there and we were watching it together, you would say, "Wow, this is an incredibly well-made movie," because it is. I mean, it's there was absolutely no reason to walk out. That's just disrespectful. The movie was those actors kicked butt. They lived with the characters longer. If you liked the first one, you're going to love the second one, because not only were they kind of able to do more with each character, the actors themselves really brought each character even more to life. And I loved, like, the last one. I thought, okay, man, perfect McCoy, perfect Spock. I wasn't so sure about the Kirk choice, but he's gotten 10 times better in the second one. He's channeling Shatner. I mean, the whole thing is really incredibly well done, heartfelt. It's got a lot of tributes to the fans. And because J.J. Abrams is a fan, I mean, I'm not saying the guy can walk on water. I'm just saying that I enjoyed the movie a lot more than I thought I would. And it did everything for me that I wanted to do. I fell asleep in The Avengers, and I was so hyped for that movie.
It's because you went to, like, the 3 a.m. show.
I did not.
You know,
I did not. It was just so slow in the middle, dude. And I had just gotten out of the hospital. But you know what? It was really slow in the middle. I was so pissed at it. It was like the Scarlett Johansson show. It was ridiculous. And she kind of was like the second commander of the group, and Samuel Jackson was the, and it didn't follow the comics, and I was pissed. And Thor still didn't wear his damn helmet, and Captain America was like a background character to his own group. And I'm like, yeah, it's gotten ridiculous, man. This is ridiculous. It was too much, too many characters, not enough time spent with any of them. And then the
If you notice, the ones that have their own movies or their own series, they had less screen time because they had their own movies.
It doesn't matter, though. If you follow the truth, I mean, Thor put the group together, went to Tony Stark, and he put the group together. And back in the day, Captain America came in. He basically turned the group over to Captain America. You know what? Black Widow wasn't even in it. She wasn't even a thought. And then she finally got involved. And then, you know,
they need a hot chick in this. I mean, you have to look at the reality of it. They have to sell tickets, man.
Whatever,
a sausage
dude,
party.
They didn't have to have her in every scene in the freaking
movie. Of course
they
did. We have a beautiful woman. We've paid her. Let's put her in every scene.
Every single scene.
I mean, simple producer economics, man. Like, you're not thinking like a producer. Again, you're thinking like a fanboy, and a fanboy will always fail. At the end, the fanboy will always be disappointed if he approaches every film as a fanboy, and he will become a bitter troll. And we're feeling this right now, man. Embrace it, man. It's all right. It's okay. It is what it is. And I'm saying, in that vein, that guy's allowed to walk out of the movie theater, and you can't say anything about it because he paid his $12. He doesn't want to see, probably five. He probably went to a matinee. He doesn't want to watch it. That's his thing.
Then don't go. Don't go to begin with. Don't be such a negative
man. That's not negative to go and give something a chance. What if I rent a Todd Sheets movie and I put it in and I shut it off halfway through because I can't take it? That person's a negative Nelly that needs to die?
I didn't say he needed to die. I'm just saying, look, well, man, you know what you're getting into.
Not my friend. Say what now?
I said, you know what you're getting into if you ever do any research, like a drop of research, you'll know what you're getting into.
Right. If you had done your research on Star Trek before you've gotten to see the Star Trek sequel, let me research Star Trek. This is a man who was there for the originals. He was young when the original Star Trek came out. This is a person who understands Star Trek very well and is in the sci-fi community. This is not a guy who, you know, likes Tyler Perry movies, like you said, and just happened to accidentally walk into Star Trek without researching it.
It's crazy.
But what's wrong with Tyler Perry's movies? You know, like that's what I mean. It can't be. You're that guy in high school that I used to fight with, or in grammar school, over like who's better, Pink Floyd or Led Zeppelin? Why can't they both be great?
Well, in my opinion, they are both great. The problem is, I have several issues with the whole Tyler Perry phenomenon, all of which I can get into one day, and it would make sense. But they're not really successful. That's the problem.
You're going to get into it.
It's pandering political nonsense. It's pandering.
What you're saying is that you don't like black people.
No, I like black people. I like black cinema. What I'm saying is, I've got a lot of black friends that don't like Tyler Perry.
Williamson's in. Let's get that straight.
Hold on. I like black cinema of all types. I don't like Spike Lee because he's a racist asshole. And I don't like Tyler Perry because his movies are banal. They're shot like stage plays, like worse than sitcoms. On a technical level, they're horrible. And the fact is, in the Midwest where I live, everything this man does, including his stage plays, gets filmed and put in our local movie theaters because we're like in a stranglehold by the NAACP around here. It's a nightmare.
I don't believe that. I don't believe that.
It's true.
Because there were 50 guys like Tyler Perry before Tyler Perry trying to make movies and stage plays. And there's, you know, 500 guys now trying to do it.
And you know what? We
so
get all
the,
of them.
Where's the NC, the NCAA? Where's the NCAA now, man?
I'm telling you something. Those guys, those movies are in every video store. It's in Walmarts. It's in Best Buys. Yeah. But they won't carry movies.
Because they're popular.
They won't carry movies from Wild Eye Releasing. But they're not popular. They sit there.
Because I don't have Tyler Perry movies. I'm not angry at Tyler Perry because Walmart wants his movies. Walmart wants the movies that sell.
And
let me tell you something. You're lying. How do you know that?
Because I sat there and I talked to the rep at Best Buy, the manager, who's my friend. And he says, we've sold two of those. And they have literally 600 copies of Madea Goes to Jail. And they've sold two copies since they had them on the shelf, yet they got in like Godzilla versus Biollante, sold them all out, and never got them in again. It's like frustrating.
I love this guy. It's like Tyler Perry versus Godzilla. This is the name of this episode. Tyler Perry versus Godzilla.
And you know what? Godzilla will kick his ass.
Well, I think that's silly, but okay, here's the thing. I don't believe, first of all, I don't believe your friend, and I don't believe you. I think this is nonsense. I think this stuff has a track record of making money. If it didn't, no, it does. It does. If it didn't, Lionsgate wouldn't handle it, and the guy would be doing stage plays again.
It's a niche,
you know, he would have had a couple
hit movies.
Lionsgate
handles a lot of shit that sucks.
No, it doesn't matter if it sucks to you, dude. It makes money. That stuff plays theatrically. People don't put money behind theatrical films that don't make money just because, like, they're going to be branded racists if they don't. And that's the most ridiculous thing I've ever heard.
I think it's because you're naive.
No, I'm not naive, my friend. I am not the naive one here.
Here's the deal.
Unbelievable that you would say that.
I worked for Time Warner Cable, and I can honestly tell you, We were doing programming there, community programming,
public access TV, yes.
And we were doing all this production there, and we had people come in and sit down and raise hell with us from the NAACP because we didn't have enough minority programming. But here's the thing. We had 7 minority-themed shows. The difference was they weren't themed just for African-Americans, and that's what I was naive to this, but really surprised me. It's not. This is supposed to be for the advancement of all people, not just African Americans. But they sure focus only on African. They don't care if there's an Asian on that TV
commercial.
NAACP,
it says it right in the name. They're not looking for the advancement of Todd Sheets.
No,
I mean, they're looking
but
for
the advancement of colored people, supposedly. But only one color. Only African American people. Because if there's no Asian in that commercial, you don't get a phone call. But if there's no black person in the commercial, boom, you get a phone call. It's weird. I actually lived it. I actually had to deal with it. It's weird.
I'm wondering, is this really true? I mean, I don't know. I spent 20 years in the advertising business in New York, and I never had anyone say anything
about it. You're in New York. It's a different world, man. I'm trying to get you to understand that. It is a different world.
Well,
I'm in the Midwest. I'm in the
Lionsgate's in New York and L.A., and they're the coasts. And so the NAACP is walking into their office saying, you have to put Tyler Perry's movies in the stores and in theaters, and he has to have a TV show, too. And he has to have,
okay,
you know,
case in point. I'm going to make a great case.
And he has to star in the Alex Cross movie. And I know none of them are going to make any money. But if you don't, then we're going to get you.
All right, look and see how much the Alex Cross movie made. It was a flop.
No, I know it was a flop, but everyone admits that. Even Tyler Perry. It's not, you know, that was a known flop. But
that was a flop. The last movie he made before that, the People's movie, it was a flop.
Uh huh.
Okay.
Okay.
It flopped. 20 other
movies
the one before
made
that,
money.
The Family That Prays, it was a flop. It only made $4 million worldwide. They were hoping it would be like $20 million or whatever. It didn't make its budget back. I mean, I'm looking at these things. I understand. These movies are not doing as well as you're saying they're doing. And let me point this out to you.
No. Wait a minute now. I'm not saying, okay, I'm not saying that he hasn't done movies that haven't made money. Okay? Because he's done so many that you're bound to have a couple flops. I'm not saying that. I'm saying that at some point, at the end of the day, when the bean counters are done, whether it's on video, VOD, international, whatever it is, this guy makes them money, or the money would stop going to him. That's just the way it is. People have this false conception. If they didn't like a movie or they heard a report that like Kevin Smith, how the hell does he keep making movies? They all suck. They don't make any money. But he makes money.
He does. I get that.
Money.
I'm just trying to back up my theory here because Temptation was a box office failure, his last movie. Horrible, horrible, dismal failure. Before that, he had, what was that, the one about the little girls, Daddy's Little Girls. Boom. Failure.
I'm not sure. I mean, listen, Temptation made about $52 million. I don't know where that's a flop. I don't know in what, maybe the Avengers making $52 million would be a flop, but I don't know where, like a character movie with people talking, making $51 million domestically, which
Temptation
it did.
Temptation was basically a ripoff of Basic Instinct, right? We can agree with that. And they took it kind of tried to market it at that. But here's
who cares?
The deal. Domestic box office was $21 million from what I'm seeing. And then it got more from other places. But $21 million isn't that much considering how much they cost, you know, with the actors and everything.
Lifetime gross is $51 million. How much did it cost to make?
I don't know. I didn't make it. I'm just going by the fact that it's being called, okay, a flop by Hollywood standards. If the industry is saying it's a flop.
Who said that? Who?
Variety said that.
Variety said this movie was a flop.
This movie was underperforming. Is there a
okay.
word? So you're going, okay, so if it's underperforming and all these other movies are underperforming, how does he keep getting a budget? How does he keep... It's just like Queen Latifah's last outing, okay? What really frustrates me is she comes out and puts out this blurb to everyone. Well, we remade this movie for real people, for people to understand. Because Queen Latifah's kind of racist, dude. And I'm like, dude, this is ridiculous. They remade Steel Magnolias with all black cast. Now, you can have an all black cast, but you can't have an all white cast, because if you have an all white cast, then suddenly you got the NAACP screaming at you saying you didn't represent
that's
the black
not true. There are movies with all white people all the time. Come on, man.
All white people.
Come on.
Show me the movie with all white people. I want to know.
The Avengers.
It was not all white people. Samuel Jackson's in the movie.
Well, he's the token guy. Yeah, I know. I know.
Whatever.
Where's
he's
the
great.
Black Avenger? Oh no, where's the Black Avenger? Which one of them is black? Which one's Asian? I forgot. Remind me.
Well, the thing is, it wouldn't matter if they were Asian. They could change them, and they could spit all over them, and they could treat them like crap, right. And it's okay.
But how about Batman? Aside from Morgan Freeman, the token black guy in the movie. In the three movies, who's the black guy in the Batman franchise? Oh, there isn't one. Okay, all right. So if they insert someone as a token, that's okay. But
see,
you're saying films
I don't
that
think Morgan Freeman was a token. Morgan Freeman was playing Lucius Fox. Lucius Fox was always black. That's his character. He wasn't a token. He was actually the character.
But he didn't need to be in the film.
Yes, he did. Lucius Fox was the whole thing about how Batman got his gear.
See,
I'm colorblind.
Book.
What I'm trying to pro, what I'm trying
Alf,
to say
you're not
here.
Color. The fact that you're complaining about Tyler Perry's movies being all black and that they're talking about him being and Queen Latifah. Come on, man.
No,
nobody's
here's my problem. The problem is racism in its many forms. And here's the deal: if we continue on these paths of saying, okay, well, we don't care if there's any Asian cinema. We don't. I mean, here's my proof. Okay, supposedly it's Asian Appreciation Month or whatever going on. Well, you couldn't tell at the stores because there's absolutely nothing. There's no displays for Asian cinema, no displays for... And I'm talking about media here. I'm not talking about the world. So here's the thing. In media, we don't get anything. But the minute it's Black History Month, the entire video section of Walmart is covered in Tyler Perry movies and all these other black movies. But no one mm-hmm. else gets a day in court. That's my problem with this. No one else gets a day. The Asians don't get a day. We don't have Mexican cinema where, you know, we're celebrating Spanish history or Mexican history. And suddenly we got every Paul Naschy movie in the world at the damn Walmart. We don't get anything like that. Every once in a while, like, Walmarts will have a Hispanic section if they're in that, like, down in Texas. But otherwise, it's really weird. Now, I admit, see, it's different for me because I live in what they call the black capital of America. Even like Little Richard said, this is Missouri's the best place to be a black man because we have the largest black population concentrated in St. Louis and Kansas City, and I get that. But at the same time, that doesn't mean that we can't have diversity and have a celebration of other cultures. I do believe in being colorblind, but I'm force-fed the same thing constantly where I live, and that's a frustration for me because I want to celebrate Asian cinema, and I want to celebrate Latin American cinema. I want to celebrate Bollywood cinema. I can't. because it's one or the other. It's redneck assholes or it's black cinema. That's all I get here. I mean, you'd be surprised how much Larry the Cable Guy, this must be his hugest market, is right here in Missouri and Arkansas. I think we just put him on the map because that's the mentality here. Here's your sign. I mean, the redneck comedy tour, this is what it's all about. That's where I live, unfortunately. And so I've got a dividing line. I either get the... I mean, this is not a joke. Every week, the cart comes out at Walmart with the new movies. It's divided down the middle. Christian propaganda. It's got wrestling. I mean, I can't believe how much wrestling stuff comes out. Those guys must just be pumping it for Walmart. And then you get the black movies. Tyler Perry and all the people that are copying him. And there's a million of them. You're right. They even designed their packaging to look like Tyler Perry, even though it's not.
Wouldn't you?
No.
If I was
a black filmmaker, I'd grab that stuff by the balls and start making movies like Pam Grier used to make.
There you go. Movie. Oh, so you're saying the black movies that were made by Jews back in the 70s.
No.
Black Caesar. Those are okay.
I'm talking about Rudy Ray Moore.
Those are entertainment. But dramas about black people, I don't want anything to do with it. Get that out of my store.
That's not true either.
Like, you're one of those white guys that, in your defense of multiculturalism, proves what a racist he is.
That's not true at all. Dude, Rudy Ray Moore's movies were not made by white men. Rudy Ray Moore's movies were made by Rudy Ray Moore and his friends.
Yeah, for black people.
But my point is, they were incredible, and they spoke to the people of the time. Now, don't get me wrong. There are a lot of crossover movies that I see could fulfill a whole auditorium of people. That's great, and that's fine. I think my problem here is my complaint, which is the NAACP in their pushing of one agenda is frustrating to me, because they should be pushing for everyone to be equal, not just blacks, not just this or that. We shouldn't have them fighting to get black people put in a show, but F the Asians. We shouldn't have that, because if they're going to be a group for the advancement of all people of color, which I think is a ridiculous statement anyway, then they need to actually back that up. They need to be doing things for Asians, for Latin Americans, for African Americans, not just one. It can't just be one.
My point is those groups also have advocacy groups that do, go after slights or push for the advancement of
those people don't have Al Sharpton being ridiculous on the television. And no one cares
about
that.
Al Sharpton hasn't done that bit in 20 years. Come on, enough of this. Come on. Let's get back to the movie thing, because we're going to get into this political thing. And some of your points are valid, but this might be the wrong radio show to argue about cultural things like that.
Well, no, I'm not talking about life.
Point.
I'm talking about media. I'm talking about movies. I'm talking about music.
Well, I'm talking about Tyler Perry. And you diss Tyler Perry. You diss Tyler Perry all the time. And what I don't understand is that he's made over $500 million. If you add up all his films, box office, and all the video rental, and all the VOD, and all the stage show, this guy is worth so much money. And he's been so successful, but yet you just tear it down and say, "Pah, that didn't sell anything." That's the kind of stuff that I'm like, that sounds a little weird. It just doesn't make any sense. For being on the business end of things, in the film business, so to speak, it just doesn't make any sense. There's no one that would really be putting that kind of money behind someone because there's a conspiracy. It sounds like a conspiracy.
It is kind of a conspiracy, because there are talented black filmmakers out there that are not given a chance.
Name two.
That's the point. We can't, because they're underground. They're out there working.
They're out there.
They are out there. Like Ernest Dickerson's out there, but you never get to see his work. He's complaining right now. If you do interviews with Ernest, he'll tell you, "Look, man, I got some great scripts here. But I can't get financing because I'm not Tyler Perry." It's kind of like what you're saying. I'm actually backing up your theory. It's like
every filmmaker has scripts that he can't get financing.
It's like, okay, Hollywood's thinking, okay, so we need to throw the NAACP a bone. Let's just get Tyler Perry. They don't think outside the box. They're not like going, okay, there's other black filmmakers, that could be getting these.
I don't believe that.
I think it's because they're being disrespectful to black audiences by saying, okay, we got him. we gave him his. There's the Black Movie of the Month, and I think that's crappy. I think they need to be giving this the money to somebody like Ernest Dickinson. I mean, look at all the movies he's made.
If aliens came to this planet and they were so grotesque to look at that people fainted and vomited,
they'd be in Tyler Perry movies
and died. No, stop. And die just by looking at these creatures, you would die, and your blood was poisoned, and if you can make a dollar showing that to someone, Hollywood would make a movie about it and put it in the screen. Hollywood doesn't care about, you know, black, white, purple, whatever makes money goes out there, and it's proven every day. So the fact that you would say, like, well, it's just because he's the token, he's not, there's no, that guy lived in a car and did his own thing and made his own success, and he's, you know, good for him.
I don't have anything against the guy as a person.
I don't believe that there's a conspiracy to keep him, only him. You know, because I don't know, because of his content or something. Is it not? It's not scary. It's not.
It's very banal. Yes, very middle of the road.
Very banal, right? Because African American audiences don't want mediocre stories like the rest of us, right? I mean, you know, sometimes you just flip on Lifetime Channel and the story, you know, it's just mediocre drama crap, and you know they have great ratings.
Well, I want to make something clear. I want to make something clear because you've kind of painted me in a bad picture here.
I'm not painting the back picture, and I don't want to hear.
I'm not in any way a racist at all. I don't care about that. I actually believe in human beings. And you know that about me.
First sign of a racist says he's not a racist.
Whatever, get out of here.
I know you're not a racist. In fact, one of my favorite movies of yours, which I happen to be on the cusp of releasing, is called Whispers in the Gloom, which no one knows about this movie. It's this Todd Sheets movie. It has almost an all-black cast.
It has a lot of black people in it. I don't care what color they are. I just like them if they're good or bad.
And there's no and I found it to be more exciting than a Tyler Perry movie.
Thank you.
So I know that you're not part of the conspiracy. I know you're not a racist, Todd. I know you personally. I know you're not a racist. But we're playing it up for the cameras here. We're having a little fun, and I'm just busting you. But seriously, I think that the Tyler Perry conspiracy thing is a little crazy.
I thought so too, but the more I'm really frustrated because I really like Anthony Zerbe as an actor. You know who I'm talking about? What's his name? Is it Anthony Zerbe? You know who I'm talking about? I guess I don't know his name, but I think he's funny as hell.
Funny.
He's a comedy actor that's in like every movie. They always have him be the black kid, and I think he's freaking hilarious. But I think that there's other great talented black kids also. Why is it
black
always
kid.
The same guy? You know why don't give someone
there's other talented black kids out there? You're right.
Why not give someone else a chance? Why is it always got to be this? I mean, it just seems really pigeonholed to me in the way black actors and black directors are treated sometimes. They don't get the chance that I would like to see them because they're like, okay, well, we need a black guy in this part. Just grab Anthony over there. And I'm like, that's kind of what it seems like. These casting directors aren't brand. I mean, because you know these guys are out there. They're starving, man.
No,
they need
it's the same. It's the same reason that somebody makes an action picture or something and says, "Well, let's put Danny Trejo in it," because people want people have invested money in the past.
Thank
so
God
in other
for
words,
Danny Trejo, there wouldn't be any Hispanic actors in these damn movies.
Get out of here with this! Get out of here! Look who just walked in to save the day, Mr. Ree.
Hello.
You were missing. You are missing the debate of the century between myself and Todd. He thinks there's a conspiracy to keep Tyler Perry movies in theaters and on television and et cetera, and that the guy actually makes no money. He's actually researched it.
You have to admit, though, you have not given me a legitimate answer, and you are in the business. You should give me a better answer. Why the hell is it the only time that they change, like, say, let's use Walmart and Best Buy as an example. When it's Black History Month, they have a whole aisle full of black movies, but here it is Asian history, and not only do people not even know it's Asian History Month, they aren't even putting a thing out about it, not even a single movie, and there's a ton of great Asian cinema out there that talks about their history.
We can talk about that. Let me introduce our late co-host.
I'm not dead.
The Bruce Lee to my Van Williams.
Yes, Mr. Ree should be angry. No Asian.
Mr. Ree Lee Peterson finally here 15 minutes before we close the shop.
Exactly.
But welcome back, or welcome in anyway.
Hey, I made it. I made it.
Yeah,
that's right.
Those New York trains. I was saying earlier that you just add a little heat or you add a little water to the New York area and everything's screwy.
Oh, my God. I'm seriously considering changing my subway provider. Yeah. Crazy. Yeah.
So I was doing the research, and Tyler Perry's films have grossed $500 million, and that doesn't include DVDs and stage plays and television.
90,000 movies.
So Todd's still saying that he's the guys that he knows that work in retail say that the movies are on the shelves, but they don't sell. I mean, I don't think we can.
Dude, I'm going to tell you the truth. He'll have a hit.
Well, we'll have to do it next time.
He'll have a hit, but like all those plays, those multitude of plays that they film, like they look like BBC soap operas back in the day. Those are not selling. I mean, I literally see them pulling them off the shelf and sending them back. So someone is losing some money somewhere because, like you said, in the distribution game, when you have returns, it sucks.
Yeah, it sucks, but you know what? That's part of the game. You're going to get, and at Walmart's the worst, but you're going to get a 25 to 30% return on anything you ship. So if I ship 100 copies to Walmart tomorrow, I'm guaranteed to get 30 back. I mean, that 30 might not even made it to the shelves. That's just a retail game. And it's the same in other retail too. So, you know, and if it doesn't sell, I'm going to get 70% back and it'll be a lower sell through. But that doesn't mean that the movie's bad or that's a conspiracy. That just means it wasn't on the shelves long enough. It wasn't put out in the right place. It wasn't put out at the right time. Who knows what? 100 different factors determine that. But Hollywood likes a name. They like something bankable. They like the Danny Trejos. They like all these comedians you're talking about. They like that stuff. They're not going to put untested people who haven't made money for at least someone else, if not them, into a film or on television. I mean, it's just not going to happen. It's a foolish, naive, independent mindset to think that you actually have a chance to compete with this kind of stuff. I hate to break it to you. That doesn't mean you can't be successful and you can't kind of, you know, create your own path. But Tyler, that's how Tyler Perry did it. He's an independent filmmaker. Look where he went.
And his movie, Tyler Perry's movies are very cheaply made, aren't they? I mean, amazing return on the investment.
Right, that's exactly why they keep pumping them out. And Todd goes, well, they didn't make any money. Well, the last one, he's right. There was the one before, the People's movie, only made about $9 million. Hmm. But this other one, that Temptation, made about $52 million. Mm-hmm. Now, $52 million on probably what cost $15, $20 million to make. If you made me $30 million, I'm going to invest in your next movie. Mm-hmm. I don't care what it is. Mm-hmm. So if you just tuned in to this great cultural discussion.
Like I did.
Like Mr. Ree. You're listening to the Movies Hate You show. If you want to call in and tell us what you think about, as Todd says, black kids in movies. He said earlier.
Black kids in movies.
He said there's all kinds of good black kids out there. We can put in a movie. Yeah. 310-928-7857. Let's hear from some black actors and directors. Yeah. By the way, you mentioned Ernest Dickerson can't find work. He does a lot of television work, and it's pretty
good. I know he does, but he's frustrated because he's got these great scripts he wants to get produced, and he's having a hard time.
Yeah, but like I said, every director or producer has scripts, has a stack of scripts they can't get produced. They don't have the money. They don't have the time. You know what I'm saying? But meanwhile, Ernest Dickinson's making a lot of money directing The Walking Dead. I think Breaking Bad. He's directing a lot of different shows.
He's a go-to guy, man.
He's solid old school. Like, you know, to me, he's like a Don Siegel, man. Just friggin' really real craftsman. Anyway, so I think your theory is shoddy, but you know, I'm willing to listen.
You know, speaking of black kids in movies,
oh god,
a birthday shout out to Mr. T. Today's
Mr. T's
birthday.
Birthday. That's right.
Happy birthday, Mr. T.
DC Cab was on recently, and I watched it again, and it really doesn't hold up.
You mean the Bill Maher film?
The Bill Maher. Yeah, you know, Bill Maher's such a swarmy, you know, political guy now, right? And I find him very funny at times. Nobody ever talks about his film career. Does he ever bring up the lousy, like, pizza delivery boy movies he was in the 80s?
I didn't realize he was in more than DC Cab. I know he
There were a couple starring roles for him. Went direct to your video store. No one ever talks about those.
Wow.
We have to dig those up. Todd, can we continue this next time? Oh, I have to answer your question, Todd. So why isn't there an Asian Appreciation Month at the video store when they have like black history? Is there an Asian History Month? What month is it?
It is supposed to be, and it's frustrating.
Supposed to be, but is there? Is there, like, legally, like, the government,
well,
like,
had,
Washington
they actually said, put it on TV. They had a little blurb that said it was Asian thing, and I was, like, so happy, and, yeah, it didn't matter, because, god dang, can't get anything Asian. It's very frustrating.
You can't get anything, like, do you have Amazon? Have you ever heard of
Yeah, but
internet?
Why can't I just walk in a store? How come I can walk in a store and buy every African-American movie ever made from Ruth
Because
Dawn?
The model has changed. The world has changed. Welcome to 2013.
Well,
the
what's
world
that got to do with
has
the Asians getting treated like crap?
They're not getting treated like crap. You can get their stuff all over the place. There are labels dedicated to just Asian stuff.
You're
in the background. Is that me?
You're naive.
I'm naive. I love that. I call him naive. He calls me naive.
First of all, which Asian are we talking about? Are we talking about Indian? Are we talking about
right? Do you have a Bollywood week at the Best Buy?
I'm ready.
I love these guys whose lives still revolve around Best Buys and like the store where they go buy their shit. You know, it's just amazing.
But you have to admit, I just complained.
I 12,
couldn't get Bollywood.
To the main street to go into the department store. It's like my whole life revolved around going to that department store on Saturday afternoon to look in the toy section.
I'm in Kansas City. I don't have much choice.
You live in the world. You have the internet. You can have any movie you want. If you can't buy it, you can steal it. You can download it. You can rent it. You can email a friend and get a copy. You can have any movie that was ever made by writing an email to someone, and yet you're complaining that there's too many black movies at the Best Buy. Well, if that's what's selling, then let it be.
If that was true, I would like that.
It's true. It's unbelievable. He's saying he's got a guy in the inside at Best Buy that says he sold 2 copies of Madea Goes to Jail. His second, I think that one made the most money for him. I think he made $90 million, that movie, but they only sold 2 copies.
At our local store, they sold about 2 copies. And now, I don't know about Walmart. It looks like they may have... Walmart looks like it may have sold, you know, maybe 10. But because they had
Wait,
like
a... What is your local store? Wait, I thought you were talking about Walmart. What's your local store?
I was talking about Best Buy over there that sold 2.
Best Buy sold 2. Walmart
well,
sold...
Well, the one by me, yeah.
How many were shoplifted?
That's the, there you go.
There you go. Now we've got a party.
It is funny that the Tyler Perry movies are in those plastic cases, but the like Battlestar Galactica is not.
Is that true?
It is. Well, I don't
them,
know
they
why.
Put them right next to the, they put them right next to the employment applications so that nobody will ever steal them.
You guys are killing me.
Oh, it's wrong.
There was a very lovely woman in my life sent me a picture from like a Rite Aid or a CVS, and it was the Just for Men. You know, it's that stuff you put in your beard when it's gray to bring it back to your color.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
You see it advertised all over the place.
Or any hair, really. You can put it anywhere.
You can put it anywhere you need it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But like the masseuse said, put my hand on whatever muscle ails you.
Mm.
That's what the masseuse said to me. Now, so the Just for Men, the picture was, and it could have been staged, who knows, it was from the interwebs. It was the Just for Men, like the brown hair for with the white guy cover, and then like the black-haired guy, but he's white cover, and then the African-American Just for Men, but that was in a plastic security protected case. So it was the 3 next to each other on the shelf, but that one for the African-Americans was in this secure, you know what I'm saying?
Wow, yeah.
It was in this, like, if you pull it off the shelf, it's got the chain and it just starts beeping.
Wow.
Yeah, you try to break into the plastic case. Is that what you're saying, that the Tyler Perry movies in your white area in the Midwest has the security case around it, Todd?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Hmm. And the Larry the Cable Guy do not.
No, is that, which is funny.
The Larry the Cable Guy, they actually leave outside and they have kiosks and that are open. They
They're
don't even lock
you
them.
To take it, please.
They just don't even lock them. No, it's just like an honor system. You leave your money. Yeah. You take the DVD and you leave your $5 right there.
Your food stamps, whatever.
I would honestly like to see a movie with Tyler Perry and Larry the Cable Guy together.
Mm. Dude, it'd be really the biggest like hit Walmart had ever seen.
I'm telling you, man.
It would implode upon itself.
I would like to see it. Yeah. But it would be Tyler Perry playing like the the Jack Archer, not the Jack Archer, that's Tom Cruise, right?
Jack Reacher.
Yeah, stupid. No, the Alex Cross character, but and it would be Larry the Cable Guy, not playing the Cable Guy, but playing like the Northerner that he is.
Yeah.
You know, like a guy from Boston.
Yeah. Or they could do a 48 hours kind of thing.
It would be like a 48 yeah. hours thing, but maybe it would be 72 hours. Yeah. And it would be like stuck together, handcuffed together.
Now you're not my partner, and you're not my friend, okay?
I'm getting too old for this. They're both the same age. Yeah. I'm getting too old for this. I'm
getting too bald for this.
Yeah. I'm too rich for this shit. That's what Tyler Perry would be saying. They'd both be saying. They're both rich.
Damn you, Tyler!
What it comes down to, man, is that don't be jealous about Tyler Perry's success. One day, Todd Sheets will have similar success. I say do stage plays of your old films, Zombie Rampage, the musical, and start living out of your car. Just start from the bottom, man. One day, you will be there. I guarantee you, one day, you will have $500 million in receipts at the box office. I predict it. So don't feel anger toward Tyler Perry. Look at him as an inspiration. How can I fashion my life to be more like Tyler Perry's life? How can I really set up my career to mimic that of Tyler Perry's, but only in a Todd Sheets world? Let's take the positive away from it. Let's not have, you know, little pee-pee syndrome here. Let's not have it.
Hmm.
Let's not do it.
I'm not doing it.
Okay, Todd?
I'm not doing it.
Take a deep breath. I'm going to send you some literature.
You know what? It's going to be bad whenever suddenly next week, instead of Movies Hate You, I'm going to have Tyler Perry Hour.
Tyler Perry hates you.
Madea hates you.
Madea probably does hate you. I'm going to send this episode to Tyler Perry's people, because now he has people.
He's got peeps.
And I'm going to have them listen to this episode, and I'm going to invite him on the show to debate you about the success or non-success of his film. And I'm going to have him bring receipts, and I'm going to have him bring signatures and photographs, everything, tax records. We're going to figure this out once and for all.
Whatever happened to Martin Lawrence, speaking of...
Black Knight killed
Black
him.
Black Drag.
Black Knight killed him.
Yeah?
Yeah, I think so. I think Black Knight was the end. Yeah.
So his crack habit didn't kill him. He got through that, and then one flop kills him?
No, it was probably a combination of Big Mama's House 2 and Black Knight. I think it was the 1-2 punch there.
Wasn't there a third Big Mama's House?
There might have been a direct-to-video one. That was the second one, where his son... He introduces his son into the world of drag.
Oh, yes.
Yeah. So. But my favorite of all time will always be...
Hey, look, guys. There wouldn't be a Tyler Perry if it wasn't for Big Mama's House. Be nice.
Mm-hmm.
Why would he say that? Tyler Perry was first.
It was not first.
I don't know.
Come on, man.
Callers? Anybody?
There would be no callers. Yeah, we've been asking for callers for an hour. There would be no Big Mama's House or Tyler Perry if there wasn't a Mom's Mabley. All right,
or
Flip Wilson. Damn you,
Flip Wilson started it all. He was one of the most brilliant comedians you've ever known.
Who?
Oh, Jesus, Flip Wilson.
Flip.
I hear crickets.
We're formulating a response to that.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know. He's no Richard Pryor, but okay.
Whatever, dude.
He was very palatable. He was palatable to. Middle class whites.
He was funny. No, I don't think it was that. I think it was the fact that that was during the time whenever there was some creativity. Like, I remember Flip Wilson and Jonathan Winters, and I loved both of them for their use of on-the-spot comedy. The thing I liked, you know, that improvisational technique. Both of them had it, and they were both really brilliant at it. And I thought that was kind of a cool time for comedy because a lot of spontaneity. And then on top of that, the spontaneity of Robin Williams when he first came out, if you remember, doing crazy stuff. And I mean, they set him loose on Happy Days. They're like, just do whatever. And man,
the cokehead Robin Williams.
Yeah,
it was great. I liked him.
It's like the cokehead Steve Martin. You know, Steve Martin. That was, you know, can't beat that stuff.
Yeah. Did Cosby, did he ever do drag? I don't think he ever did.
Cosby, I don't think so.
Yeah.
Well, you can call it like Uptown Saturday Night with the, you know, you had like the pimp outfit on, right?
Yeah.
That was kind of draggy.
Yeah. Well.
That was like, you know.
There's a guy. There's a guy. You've probably seen him in Jersey City.
Batman
who pimps out like you would
Really?
Like it looks like it's a parody, but it's not. It's totally
really.
And
that's
he's got 100 different outfits.
That's cool.
And oh man, a huge furry hat.
Nice.
And it matches. He's got a bright purple one. He's got a
white one. Where is he in Journal Square?
I see him in Journal Square a lot.
Yeah, well, that's where I would be if I was a pimp. Wouldn't be
on the train or.
Have you ever seen the Batman in Hoboken? There is a Batman Todd in Hoboken. Mm. He's trying to compete with you. He doesn't care. Enough of him. He's gone. Todd, did we get disconnected?
You're gone.
Good. Yeah, I like that. Pete never called and he must
be
dead.
You got about a minute, so you better get out of here.
Oh, enough of this with you. I had said earlier that I had heard reports on the web that Pete was dead.
Oh.
42nd Street Pete had died. But then somebody... could have been Pete, had reappeared on Facebook as Pete, but I'm not sure if it actually was Pete, so I'd ask Pete to call in, but he never called in.
So he probably is.
He might be dead.
We need to look for clues.
There are people.
Paul McCartney is dead thing. There, we gotta find clues.
There's got to be a tape we can play backwards somewhere with the clues. Yeah. But, you know, I don't know.
Well,
Todd hasn't seen him. He's not on Jackalope. I mean, he's gone.
There was one tape I had of Pete's, and I played it backwards, and he said, "I'm getting in the business."
Pete, are you listening? Please, Pete, call in. Did you hear that, Todd?
I heard it. You're out of time.
Oh, no.
Oh, hey, listen. This has been... Well, call in. Now you can call in because we won't be here, you jerks. This has been the Movies Hate You Show. We've had a great time. Todd, this has been a fun debate. Tyler Perry versus Godzilla. That's the name of this episode. Mr. Ree, you missed all the fun.
It's been the funnest 15 minutes of my life.
Fred, if you're out there listening, we apologize. We're going to have Fred the Elephant Boy come on and do a review of Star Trek, which he had seen. But we got Todd's review of Star Trek, and I did a proxy review for my friend who walked out of Star Trek, so we had a Star Trek argument.
Douchebag!
And let me tell you something. Star Trek is like chess, and Star Wars is like cowboys and Indians. You can't have Star Trek acting like Star Wars, you know. You got anyway. Forget it. But so we kind of had a Star Trek review here. But Fred will have you on next week. Fred will be back to give reviews. I didn't have his phone number, Lee. That's why.
Oh,
I didn't. That's
Fred,
why
I apologize. Yeah. I'll give you a call as soon as we're done.
And
there,
I didn't know. Yeah, exactly. So all right, that's it. The Movies Hate You Show, sponsored by
Wild Eye Releasing.
Wild Eye Releasing. WildEyeReleasing.com. Thank you all for listening to this crazy Tyler Perry nut job rant. Todd, thank you for producing. Mr. Reed, thanks for finally showing up.
Hey.
We'll see you next week.